The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Thank you, guys. Thank you all for being here on another rainy Sunday. I was telling the guys a while ago, I've kind of made a mark on my calendar, and we have had 7 out of 10 rainy Sundays. So thank you for being here in the midst of it. And there was a reason why we didn't do a meet and greet this morning. So it's because we're being plagued with the flu. So that's probably, I'm doing that for y'all. So if somebody comes up to you, today is the day to give an elbow. I would even be a little weary with the fist bump. So just smile at each other. We do have a lot of people out this morning with a lot of stuff going on. So be praying for our people. We pray for you that y'all stay flu-free and health-free and everything else that is in our midst. There are schools that are being closed last week, apparently, because like over a third of the people, I didn't know this, but there's apparently a rule if you have so many people out, just shut it down. So for you kiddos that are praying for that, let's do that a different way. Let's pray for snow, not for the flu. So anyway, so I am thankful to be with y'all this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. Go ahead and turn with me because we're gonna move quick this morning. But I want you to turn with to Matthew 6. Turn to Matthew 6, and we're going to be starting in verse 9. We have been walking in the way of grace. That's what we've been talking about over the last several weeks. And the last 2 weeks, we have been kind of talking about what it looks like to walk in the way of grace in prayer. Trey started 2 weeks ago, did an incredible job of kind of leading us into this, and then Nathan was here last week, and he continued in that. I got to tell Nathan this. I was telling these guys, I was telling Bo a while ago, Bo say, how are you doing with your coffee, no coffee? And so Nathan, in his love for me, called me last week and said, I've got good news for you that apparently you can have cold brew coffee. So this has nothing to do with the message. I don't even know where I'm going. But apparently you can have cold brew coffee because it decreases the acidity in the coffee. So I'm dealing with this bladder thing that's worse by acid, so like no tomatoes, and apparently the worst thing is coffee. So anyway, this morning I say that on saying I had 3 cold brew coffees. I feel really good right now. So so my second good news is to you, the idea was to be out of here in 30 minutes, but I can't make that promise now. So anyway, we're kicking off this morning. We're going to go back into Matthew 6 as we look at the Lord's Prayer. And what I want you guys to do is to stand with me, and we're going to read it together. And we're going to start just in verse 9. And vocally, all of us will try to keep it as close together as we can. It says, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us for our debts, as we also are forgiven for our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. You guys can be seated. So a couple years ago, it's actually been about 6 years ago, I guess, the Lord really laid heavy on my heart my prayer life. I thought I had a prayer life, but what God was convicting me in the midst of it is it really wasn't what he intended it to be. And by his grace and his mercy, he did that in several ways. Tim Keller wrote a book, I think 2014-ish, because this is about that time, called Prayer. And it's a great book. So if this is an area in your life that you feel like you may be struggling with, it really helped me. But one of the things that he says in the book that really grabbed me in the very beginning of the book is he said this. He said, if I could go back and if stepping back now and looking at my ministry and my life at this point, I would say the biggest regret in my life is the amount of time that I've spent in prayer. And what he said is through cancer and some other things, God really pulled me and made that aware in my life. Well, this kind of grabbed my attention because this is Tim Keller, okay? And then about 2 weeks after that, I remember it, I was watching a News Channel 4 interview that they were doing with Billy Graham. And they were talking to Billy, and they said, Billy, at this point, Dr. Graham, at this point in your life, where would you say your biggest regret is? It wasn't family, time with family. It wasn't the size of whatever, all the things he had done. What he said was his biggest regret was the amount of time that he'd spent with God in prayer. So in the midst of this, God was just, he was tugging at me. He was speaking to me. And so I started praying. And the first thing that just came to me was really what is the obstacle that I'm dealing with here? Okay, so if we believe the word, and the word says that God, the creator of everything, is calling us to come to him in prayer, and he hears our prayers, and he responds to our prayers, then why am I not praying? So, of course, you start thinking, like, there's excuses for everything. So you start thinking, okay, what is it? Is it time? You know, we talked about this several weeks ago, with time in the word. Like, time can always be the excuse, but the more I dug, the more I realized what it really was is it went so much deeper than that. And the truth is what I felt in my own life is what I was doing was just truly forgetting the gospel. Not remembering the gospel, or maybe just not getting the gospel. I don't know. I grew up in a Southern Baptist culture as a PK. We've talked about this many times. And what I feel like was coming out of that was this legalistic, traditional prayer life. Like it was a box that I felt like that I had to check off every day, right? It just kind of birthed out of this. So what I saw was really that my prayer life was turning into this want list, like a divine Christmas list, let's just say. So what I would see is that I was spending most of my time telling God what I needed or what I wanted in my life. Now, here's what I don't want you to hear this morning, because part of prayer is petition. So part of prayer is that we would boldly go to the throne and ask. God wants you to do that. However, you have to be very careful, because prayer, a prayer that puts you at the center in a real way, can really reduce God down to a divine waiter. And it can happen very easily. So what happens is it's not him that you really want. It's not the wisdom, his wisdom that you want. It's our needing. It's not his grace that our hearts are craving. It's this wish list. And here's what it sounds like. I know what is best for me, God. If you would just use your might to accomplish that, then I'd appreciate it. And we do this when we forget the gospel. We forget that God, as creator, as savior, knows infinitely more than we do about what you need best in your life. So here's what I want us to do. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. I told you we're going to do a lot of reading this morning, so get ready. Hold on tight. The coffee's kicking in. But I'm going to read, and I want y'all just to read with me, because what I'm going to do here in a few minutes, hopefully just 3 minutes, got this all timed out, is I'm going to give you a gospel primer, all right? And I want you to circle Ephesians 2. For me, this is what's changed my prayer life. This that seems to have nothing to do with prayer has everything to do with prayer. So Ephesians 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, where by nature, children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, circle that, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so in the coming ages he might show immeasurable riches of his grace and in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we in his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. What that is the gospel. It's the gospel. So what you see here is a reminder, first of all, of who we are. What are we? We rebelled against God. That's what he's saying. He said, we once followed the way of the world. We were born into this. Rebellion simply says, I do what I want to do. And because of that, everyone at some point has been an object of God's wrath. Now, we don't like that word. We don't like to say that. We like to say, oh, God's love. But here's what I've learned is you can't separate the two. You can't separate the two. So, for instance, I love my kids more than anything in the world, right? So if you are going to harm my child or threaten my child, what's going to happen in me? What's going to be birthed out of that? A wrath. That's the emotion that's going to come out. So you really can't separate the two. But here's why it's important. In the same way, the reason God has appointed wrath towards those who rebel against him is out of the well of his love. His love for his name, the glory of his name, but also his love for those who will become children of God is born out of that. But here's where it gets beautiful. Those two words, verse 4. But God, if you ever see that, you need to circle it. But God, in spite of our sin, isolated from him, flaunting our rebellion in his face, sends his son to live the life that we couldn't live, to die the death that we should have died, to absorb the wrath that it should have fell upon us. No act of your own. Nothing that you've done. So here's the obstacle. Here's where I think it happens. Psalms, you don't have to turn there because I'm going to be turning all over the place. But if you turn to Psalms 34, 17, I was reading it this week. When the righteous cry out for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of trouble. So here's what I find with most people, and even in my own life during this time, is so much of our prayer life, the obstacle that we're dealing with is really becoming more of shame and guilt. So, for instance, here, you read those words and you say, yeah, exactly, Josh. The reason I'm not praying is because I'm not righteous. Well, what are you doing there? You're missing the gospel because you're right. It's never your righteousness. It's never your righteousness. It's never your righteousness. It's his righteousness. And the beauty of the gospel, what the gospel tells us, is because of who you are in Christ, when God the Father looks at you, he doesn't see your filth anymore. He sees the righteousness of God. He sees the righteousness of his Son. So because of that, Hebrews tells us, because of that, we can boldly go to the throne with confidence. So here's my point. If we're not living out of that, it becomes all kind of obstacles are going to show up. There's always going to be a reason not to be spending time with God in prayer. But if you're constantly reading that, if you're constantly remembering that, what are you going to do? You're going to have a prayer life. That's the mercy and grace of God. That's what it looks like to be walking in the way of grace. It won't let you not. So here are some excuses I wrote down this past week. I was meeting with a guy a couple weeks ago. We were talking about this, and he just came out and said, I'm not praying. I said, well, why are you not spending time with God in prayer? And this is what he said. He said, I'm not praying because I'm not praying. And I stopped a second, and I didn't have coffee at that time, so it really kind of, I didn't know what to say. And then I said, what? He said, I'm not praying because I'm not praying. And I said, you're going to have to slow down and explain that to me. And he said, it's because of shame and guilt, the reason I'm not praying. And I thought about it. I said, you know, I was trying to come up with a way to comprehend it. Sarah and I were, we were walking somewhere not too long ago. And Sarah said, I wish you would hold my hand more, like when we're out. I'm not really a touchy-feely kind of guy, especially in public, so that's not usually my thing. But so it was one of those awkward moments where, you know, you're thinking, I think too much anyway, but I'm thinking in my head, I say, okay, so here, what do I do here? Because if I reach down and grab her hand right now, what she's going to say is, "Ah, he's just holding my hand because I just told him to. So I've guilted him into it, right?" So it's one of those things where you're not going to win with it. Well, that's kind of what he was saying. Like, what he was saying is the reason he wasn't praying is because he was feeling the guilt and shame of not praying. Well, what's happening there? He's missing the gospel. Like, he's not getting it. Which really leads us kind of to, I think, even a deeper issue here is some of us don't pray because we just carry the weight and guilt and shame of the filth that, or whatever's happened this past week or what's going on currently, that we just don't pray. Right? Like, we feel like somewhere in our distorted view of the gospel, we feel like we've got to clean ourselves up, right? We got to clean ourselves up. We got to fix our brokenness before we can approach the throne. You can't clean yourself up. Not even a little bit. You can't. That's what we just read. What we just read was simply, you can't do it on your own. It's a misunderstanding. Listen, Christianity is the only religion, the only one that says, come as you are. Every other religion that you look at is going to say, in order for you to be welcome, clean yourself up. What the gospel tells you is, come to me and let me clean you up. Boldly approach. That's what Hebrews tells us. I think the second misunderstanding is this. We hear and understand the gospel, but we're not thinking in terms of relationship with God. And I think this is where I felt like this is where I was missing the boat. Like I was going through the motions of it, but somehow, some way, I felt like there was a disconnect. And part of it is my life, I wasn't being transparent before God. And here's the crazy thing. Like, I don't even know where I missed this, but God already knows. He already knows my heart. He already knows what I'm thinking. So what I'm thinking in my mind is that I'm hiding something from him, and I'm not. What he wants in your prayer life is to be open and transparent with every part of your life, because he knows about it anyway. You know, what's beautiful about the Lord's Prayer is the whole chapter there. Like, the point of it is that. What God wants is, what he's telling you is, I am inviting you to invade my space. I want relationship. The disciples, I love the disciples because most of the time they seem to be almost morons in some areas. But you give them a hard time. But sometimes I think we look past of the current situation. They come to Jesus here and they say, listen, teach us to pray. And what you think is, Jesus is probably looking at him saying, are you kidding me? Like, we've been walking together for 2 years and now you're asking me to pray. No, but you got to think about where they're coming out of. They're coming out of a Jewish traditional big time. Prayer was a big deal. But the way they were praying was different from the way Jesus prayed, right? What they saw in Jesus' life was this relationship with God the Father that he had to have. Like, he was praying all the time. And when Jesus prayed, what happened? Things happened. So that's what they wanted. They didn't want to keep praying the way they were praying. They wanted to pray like he prayed. So he shows them. It's a transparency. It's a relationship. I think the biggest misapplication of the gospel when it comes to prayer are these next two. And I'm sure everyone can relate. The first one that I hear is simply this. God is sovereign. So why pray? God is sovereign, so why pray? He's made up his mind, so why pray? I wrote this down. Scripture says there are two things that God has sovereignly decreed. That would be accomplished through prayers of the saints. God is going to accomplish something. And he's going to accomplish something through the prayers of the saints. So he invites the saints, you and me, to pray, because he's going to accomplish it through those ends. He's inviting you into it. So Let's think about it a second, because I'm sure everyone at some point has dealt with this. But if you have been sick, or if you've lost a loved one, or you have a loved one that's been sick, have you ever been approached by a Christian that says simply this: if only you had enough faith, they would be healed? Have you heard that? If you only had enough faith. Or the other side of this, the opposite side of the spectrum, is this: if it is the will of God, you will be healed. Yeah, we've heard that. And here's the thing. There is a smidge of truth in the midst of that. But what Scripture says is this: it shows us God's expectation for us to pray for healing. We just read it. We want God's will to be done, but we don't know His will in healing. We don't know. We don't know the reasoning. If He wants your, for example, some of y'all know this. My grandfather passed away on Thursday, and he'd been battling a lot of things. So I had to go down yesterday and do the funeral. But Thursday night, Sarah and I were praying together, and we were praying for him. And this is how this works. We sat there, and I just prayed. I said, God, listen, he's suffering. So I need you. I ask of you one of two things. Either heal him, heal his body, give him some relief, or take him home and heal him permanently. And it was crazy. Within 10 minutes, we got a call. He was gone. So we're going to pray with open hands, knowing God is going to accomplish what God is going to accomplish. But maybe by His grace, He is determined that He's going to heal this person through our prayers. So plead with Him to heal. That's what Scripture says. It's not just He's sovereign, so just let Him do it. No, He says He calls us to pray. And then I think the last one that's the most disturbing for me is that prayer just doesn't work. Right? I've prayed for this, and God just didn't come through. So I'm just not going to pray. I think the best picture of this, and I've used this, I think, with you guys before. I heard a pastor saying it one time. It was about 1998, I think, is when it was. The Titans were playing in the Super Bowl. And he had a son that was slow, had some mental issues. But he loved football. So he was trying to connect with his son. So he got tickets to the Super Bowl. And so they made the whole weekend of it. They got there, and they got the T-shirts and the funny fingers and all those kind of things. And he said they had their tickets, and they start walking towards their seats. And as they start walking towards their seats, he was getting angry because the guy he bought the tickets from said they were great seats. And before he knew it, they were sitting in the right backhand corner, top of the stadium. So in a moment, he wanted to apologize to his son. And before he could do that, in the grace and God's mercy, his son looked up at him and said, "Wow, Dad, these are the best seats in the house, because we can see what the blimp can see." It's easy for us to say God's not answering the prayers when we can't see the whole picture. In Keller's book, he says this, and I think it's a great statement. If we only knew, if we could only see what God sees or what God knows, we would answer every prayer the exact same way. That's faith. That's trust. So here's what I wanted us to do this morning. I wanted this to be a time of practical, just praying. Prayer is, I was talking to the guys earlier. I stole this from my pastor, so this isn't my own thoughts, but I think it's great. But it's simply this. If you want to learn how to pray, what do? You pray. I mean, that's it. It's not complicated. There's not this combination. There's not this, there's certain system that you got to go through, even though if you grew up Baptist, we like these acronyms kind of things. And so, I don't know if you remember Acts. Do you remember Acts? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, something, you know, you do those things, and as long as you check them off, you got it covered. And now, if that's the way you pray and it works for you, I'm not knocking it. But for me, it wasn't working. So anyway, what he says is if in order to learn how to pray, you got to pray. So he describes it this way, and I thought it was brilliant. He said, I want you to think of prayer like this. There's these two poles. You can call them the South Pole, the North Pole, whatever you want to call them. But on one side, we call it praise and celebration. That's one pole. And then on the other side, we call it petition and surrender. So what happens is your prayer life is this constant ball that just kind of bounces back and forth from one thing to the other. So it's praise, and then it's asking God for whatever it may be. But the beauty of it, in the midst of it, is organically what comes out of that is confession. So, if you turn back with me, turn back to Matthew. I'm going to show you how this works. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What does the word hallowed mean? What does it mean? Big, majestic, beautiful, powerful is your name. What is that? That's praise. That's celebration. That's what that is. And then watch what happens. And then you come over to the, and then it goes back. It says, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this daily bread. What is he doing? He's petitioning. He's asking. And what you're going to see as you go through it, it just rolls back and forth. And then look what comes next. And forgive us for our debts as we forgive those who that trespassed against us. What is that? It's confession. If we see God for who he is, he shows us most clearly who we are. You see that? When we look at the majesty, hallowed be your name, it's really quickly easy to see who we really are, how big your sin is when you're in comparison to it. So what's going to happen is organically, when you pray this way, confession is going to roll out of it. It's just going to happen. It just happens. The good news in this is it's not a system. So here's the deal. I'm kidding with you if you do the Acts things. That's fine. Just keep praying. I'm not telling you not to pray, okay? But I think sometimes we think, like, if you wake up in the morning and you're having a rough week, or let's just say kids are sick, it's crazy, chaotic, so you start your morning off by saying, God, help me. I think somewhere in our heads we've got this idea that God's looking at us and saying, Josh, you've got the order wrong again. Like, don't you have something to say to me first? Like, let's talk about how great, yes, I can help you, but let's just talk about how great I am first, right? Like, that's the way we think. I look at my kids, like, if Easton comes in the middle of the night, I won't use you, they're not in here. If Graham comes to me in the middle of the night and he's scared because there's a thunderstorm, if he's having a bad dream, and he comes and wakes me up and says, Dad, help me. I'm not going to look at Graham and say, okay, bud, I'm going to help you, but you tell me how awesome I am before I wake up. You're not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. What kind of dad would do that? Well, God doesn't do that either. So what I'm saying is there is no magic formula. So depending on where you're at and what's going on, organically let it happen. Listen, here's what I don't. Psalm 51 says this, the broken and the contrite in spirit, he will never despise. God's not going to hang up on you if you get the order wrong. I don't want you to walk out of here this morning thinking, can't ask. Because God wants you to ask. He encourages that. The problem sometimes is if the request is not in the context of surrender and celebration, it can easily become about your selfish demand. You're missing the point. The kind of prayer tool of God's grace in your life is As you put God in the proper place and celebrate your place as his child, prayer becomes a tool that he uses daily to free you from your own bondage. That's grace. That's what we're talking about. So here's what I want to do. I told you I'd be somewhat shorter. I want you to, if you have your Bibles, I want everybody to take a second and turn to the 23rd Psalm. And I'm going to ask the guys to go ahead and come up. Find the 23rd Psalm. I was praying about this week, and I think some of our prayer obstacles is that we feel like I don't know the words to pray. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to pray. And here's the beauty of God's word. It's God gives you the words to pray back to him. Like, you don't even have to come up with the words. Like, he gives you the words to pray back to him. So what we're going to do here in the next few minutes is I'm going to walk through this real quick with you, what this looks like, and then we're going to spend about 5 minutes just praying. I just want you to pray. Psalms 23 says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." So let me tell you how this thing works. Depending on where you're at this morning, okay, depending on what you're going through, you may be on a mountaintop right now, right? God is doing things. He's blessing you, and you may be up here, right? So the wording here may look more like celebration and praise. Lord, thank you for being my shepherd. I shall not want. Thank you for making me lie down in green pastures. Thank you for leading me beside the still waters. Thank you for restoring my soul. That's praise and celebration. But it could be that you're in the pits right now. It could be that you're having marital problems. It could be that you have a rebellious teenager. It could be that things at work are not good. So what happens here? It doesn't change. Lord, please be my shepherd. Help me not to want. Help me to lay down in green pastures. Lead me beside still waters. Restore my soul. You see, the words are there. So what happens here when you read and pray out of what you read? God works. So what it will do, it'll become very specific. Like, you know the victories that are going on in your life right now. You praise God for them. You also know the things that are dragging you down. Lord, that you know that I can't do this on my own. So coming out of that is a cry, a petition for help. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me. This is where it becomes important when you read. Like, you just don't go through the motions and just read. Do you know why a shepherd carried a rod and a staff? Do you know why? Because when a shepherd would lead, he would lead with a staff. He would use the staff to rescue, right? He would use the staff to lead. But he also used a rod. And what he would do with the rod is, if he had a rebellious kind of rogue sheep that was going on his own path, on his own way, he would take the rod and he would break the front legs of the sheep. And then he would take the sheep and he would mend his legs, pick the sheep up, throw it across his neck until the sheep healed. And then when the sheep healed, he would put the sheep back down. And you know what the sheep did? He would walk with the shepherd. Sometimes when we pray, it becomes this picture of confession. God, help me. I don't know what you're doing here. This weight is too heavy. I don't know how you're working. Open my eyes so I can see. And sometimes it feels like he's breaking your legs. But you know what he wants in those moments? He wants you and I to be transparent to come to him and say, hey, listen, I need you. Forgive me. Forgive me for doubting. Forgive me for whatever sin may be in my life. Remove that. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I love this. Again, you have to read past this. But in those days, in those times, you know what the biggest enemy of the sheep was? It wasn't lions and tigers and bears, oh my. It was actually the asp, the snake. So the snakes would come up while the sheep were eating, and they would bite the legs, and the venom would just kill the sheep. So a good shepherd, what he would do is he would walk in front of his sheep, stake out the pasture wherever he was leading them, and they would take oil, and they would pour it down the holes of where the snakes were. And it would slick in the hole so the snakes couldn't come up and bite them. That's how it worked. So what the sheep were able to do is they were able to go and eat and get nutrients and feed and not have to worry about their enemies in the middle of the enemies. They were right in the middle of them, but the shepherd was taking care of them. God, thank you. Like, if you're in a situation at work where you feel like you're being persecuted, things aren't happy, or you're in a relationship where God's not at the center and you're feeling the effects of it, what he's saying is this: come. Come. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's how it works. So the guys are... they're going to play. And what I want you to do in the next, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes, you can get an even Baptist, you can get a little crazy in here if you want to. I don't mind if you all pray together out loud. But what I want you to do is to take Psalms 23, just like we just did, and I want you to pray through it. If pray specifically, remember praise. Praise him for what he's doing in the midst. Petition to him where you need help. Confess to him where it needs to be confessed. And listen, if you're having trouble with this, I would just simply say, hey, God, help me here. Like, he's faithful. He's going to help you. But I want you to pray. Pray with your... you can pray. It doesn't matter what it looks like. But we're going to pray for a few minutes. They're going to sing a song over you. And then we're going to praise God. Bow your heads.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.